Welcome to Generation Cornerstone. I'm your host, Kimberly Marchand, and I'm so excited to be here for another episode. Here on Generation Cornerstone, we are seeking to restore covenant with Christ as the cornerstone for generational impact and legacy for the next generation of world changers. We will be digging into foundational principles and concepts of Christianity and speaking to individuals who have had success in various areas of life with Christ as their cornerstone. Thank you for coming along on this journey, and I hope you're blessed by today's episode. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Generation Cornerstone. Welcome back for season two. It's been a little while, but I'm so excited to be back with all of you. Hope everyone is doing well and has had a good summer and a good fall as we round out to the end of 2023. I can't believe that. But just gearing things back up and just so excited to jump in today with my friend and my sister in Christ, Michelle McGee, who has an amazing testimony to share with us, talking about the mind, body, and Jesus connection. I know we're rounding out the year and turning our attention to the holidays, and people will be making New Year's resolutions and starting to kind of refresh and get reoriented to their goals and plans for this next year. And so I thought this was just a really timely conversation to have, especially considering I know so many people are always looking to make really meaningful changes in their lives. So I am going to let Michelle introduce herself and just tell us a little bit about herself. And then I'm going to get us started with some scripture like usual. So Michelle, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and introduce yourself?
Hey, Kim. I'm so excited to be here. Hi, everyone. My name is Michelle McGee. I am 36 years old, and I'm from the great state of New York, where they say we are all cocky and rude. I was born and raised there. I've been in Texas going on 6 years now, which I guess a lot of Texans say now I'm a Houstonian. I claim it when I want to, but at the end of the day, like I tell everybody, you can take the girl out of New York, but you cannot take the New Yorker out the girl, honey.
We've adopted you, though. You've been adopted.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Let me tell you something. There are some great Texans here that I love, and then there's some that I'm just like, ooh, this is different.
We'll take that. Well, that's awesome. So glad that you made the journey from New York and that you're a fellow Houstonian now. But yeah, like I said, we're going to talk about the mind, body, and Jesus connection. Like I said, you've had a really powerful testimony with this journey that you've been on for the past year. But to ground our conversation today, you all know that everything we do is guided by scripture and guided by biblical principles. So one of the scriptures that I want to have us look at is 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So that was 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. And then we're also going to look at 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. And then one more, Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So those are just some scriptures to help kind of ground our conversation today and to give people some context around this mind, body, and Jesus connection. But would love to just hear a little bit more about your journey. So I invited you on not only because you're a dynamic woman of God, but you also have this really powerful testimony. You've been on this journey for this past year. And so would love to just have you tell us a little bit about your journey with the Lord and about your testimony as a Christian first, and then we'll get a little bit more into your journey that you've been on physically the past year.
Awesome. So I was one of those babies, as they say, they were drugged to church. I was like Timothy, raised by my grandmother and my mother. They were strong women in the faith, so going to church was really like a non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. But I am very transparent about my journey. I will say that in going to church, I never really felt comfortable for me. The churches that I grew up in were your Pentecostal holiness kind of churches. And there, that was where you had a lot of legalistic things that were happening. And back then I didn't know what that was. But for me, it just didn't seem right. And I felt like everything was like, you know, pray and ask God to do all of these things. And then when God didn't do it, I was like, God, I don't know who you are. I don't think I like you too much. Because these people are saying that if I ask, you're supposed to give it to me. So there was a lot of foundational things that weren't taught. I say my life began to change drastically when I turned 26. That's when I went to Bible college, and that's when my eyes were illuminated with scripture. I began to have this love for God and this relationship that just kind of transcended from being a kid. His hand was always upon me, because if I go back and look over my life, I can certainly see where he was. But it wasn't until I turned 26 years old is when I feel like our relationship went to the next level. I began to know who God was and understood his attributes, his abilities, and build a relationship, which I think is so important. Because a lot of times when people tell me, oh, they don't do Christianity or they don't believe in that, it's because of their experience with the church, right, and not necessarily their relationship with God. Right. And for me, I can totally understand that, because most of my relationship with God was surface. He was like the side chick. It was like, God, what can you do for me? Rather than, God, who are you to me? Right. And so that is like the pivotal point. And I'm grateful for that, because that relationship with him allowed me to become the woman that I'm becoming today.
Mm. Oh, wow. That's so good. And I think I just love that, like, so many people who come on the podcast have like a similar story in terms of like being like the church kid and like growing up in church, but then like really having to like redefine for themselves, like what it means to serve God, what that relationship looks like for them, and like re-identifying that. So you saying that there was like a pivotal shift for you at 26 is like, you're not new to this. Like, this is like your life from even, you know, like the young age, but then taking ownership of that for yourself, even, you know, about 10 years ago, is just still so powerful, especially in today's generation. So that's great. Thank you for sharing that information with us. So would love to just hear a little bit more about your transformation journey as it pertains to weight loss and how that's been tied to your relationship with God. And if you want to just give our listeners just a little bit of background in terms of the journey overall, like, I know this story and I'm so inspired every time I hear it, but if you want to just give us a little bit of context too, in terms of this transformation journey you've been on.
Oh, absolutely. I want to go back for a second for something that you said too. So I've always had a calling on my life, just didn't know what it was. And tried to do it in, for lack of better words, the secular world. It wasn't until attending Bible college when my mom kind of told me, when she was pregnant with me, that she had got a prophecy while in church, that a woman put her hand on her belly and said, this girl does not belong to you. She belongs to the Lord, and she will do a great work. Wow. So when I went to Bible college, and let me tell you, when I went to Bible college, I went there, like, that story is so amazing because I'll just tell it to you because it ties into this. Yeah. So I didn't want to go to Bible college. The Lord put it on my heart, and I was like, I don't got time for this, God. I'm working two jobs. I'm taking care of a lot of things. I don't have time to be a student. And so me being the Michelle that I am, I was like, and what am I going to do? I was like, I'm nobody's pastor. I don't sing. I'm not going to be nobody youth leader. I went through all of the course catalog. It was like, no, I'm not doing any of this. And then one of them was like biblical counseling. I was like, well, I got a hood PhD. That's not too bad. Maybe I could do a, you know, have a biblical one. And so then I remember I had to work on the day of orientation. I said, well, Lord, if this is really you, then you will make it to where I was off that day. Tell me why I go to work. And my boss goes, hey, Michelle, do you mind switching on Thursday and working another day? And so you can have Thursday off. I said, sure. No problem.
Look at God.
I was like, oh, okay. So you really want this thing to happen. So went to orientation. I ended up signing up for the winter semester. And when I went, I was like nervous because I didn't know anything. I never proclaimed to know the Bible. Now, if you talk to me, I'd be like, did you read your Bible? But back then I was in these classes with these scholars and these ministers and people that have been on mission trips and have done these great things for God. And I'm like, oh, it's just me, Michelle. Hey, how you doing? I just have a level of intellect and comprehension. And I'm just here to kind of sit back and get quiet. And it wasn't until I was in my Romans class. And that class I wasn't supposed to be in. It was supposed to be a junior level class, not a freshman level. But my advisor put me in there anyway. The professor was actually one of my favorite professors. And I remember the first time I spoke, it was 3 weeks in the class and we had an assignment and he randomly chose me and I began to speak. And that's when everyone in the room's jaw hit the floor and everyone was like, are you a minister? Are you going to preach the word of God? And I'm looking at them like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I just answered a question. I don't know what y'all talking about. Who preaching? Do y'all not know who I am? Do you not know my backstory? This girl is not qualified for anything. Okay. Like, no. And throughout my history of being in classes, random people will come up to me and be like, so you're going to school to be a minister? I said, no, I'm not. I am here for biblical counseling, okay? I'm like, counsel the people with the word of God. That's exactly what we're And then I ended up switching my major to nonprofit management because I work in accounting. So I was like, okay, I can help churches and stuff. But it's so interesting because to this day, I don't think I will ever call myself a preacher. But I will tell people that I'm a lover of the word and a teacher of the word more than anything else, because I cannot tell anybody what happens when I open up the Bible, whether it be through the app, whether it be through the physical Bible, how scripture just speaks to my heart so much and how it literally can take a bad day and turn it into something good. And that's why I choose to keep the scriptures hidden in my heart. In the moments when I don't, as you will hear as I go through my testimony, what it does to my soul. And so that's why I encourage people so many times through and through to be Bereans and to get to scripture and to have an understanding of it and stop looking for things from other people and words from other people, because God is speaking and he's been speaking in the same voice that he did 2000 years ago. And even today it's in the scriptures. So yes. I wanted to share that because it definitely ties in.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so powerful. And that's just like us to tell God what we gonna do with something that he told us that he put in our path. So I love that little piece. Share how that ties in with your transformation journey.
So with that being said, I was 328 pounds. I have been fluffy and fabulous my entire life. That's how I like to coin it. The smallest I've been is right now, current to date. I've never been small before. I've always been the plus size girl, always had a pretty face, always kept myself together. My family never looked at my weight as an issue, because for years I was very proportionate. So I would say I wasn't out of shape or I didn't look unkept or anything. Mm-hmm. I always kept myself up. And that's, again, because I was raised by, as I call them, two baddies, my grandmother and my mother. Yeah. They always took pride in their appearance. So naturally, you emulate what you see. And that's exactly what I did. Even growing up in school, people used to always say, in the proper context, they used to say, we smell you before we hear you, because I love perfume. So I used to mm-hmm. always have on, remember the Calgon sprays, the Hawaiian ginger?
Yeah.
The Victoria's Secret, you know, the crush and the love spell. So in high school, I always smell good and I always could dress because that's what I was into. For me, my weight wasn't an issue because no one made an issue. My experiences with my weight were not like some people where they were teased and had these horrific stories where people would say these things to them. I had people say things to me, but it was never in the context that was hurtful and not mm-hmm. by like school children. So for example, a lot of times people would just tell me, you would be prettier if you lost weight, or you're pretty for a big girl. It was mm-hmm. always those things. So for me, weight wasn't a thing. Like, I was comfortable in my own skin. For me, I couldn't understand why my weight bothered people. Right. I didn't understand that if I was kind, I was pleasant, I was funny. Like, all of my attributes had nothing to do with my weight at right. all. But I could see how showing up in certain spaces, it was an issue. But for me, I just said, if I didn't fit in those spaces, then those are the spaces that I didn't belong in.
That's so good. And I think that is a bit of a different scenario than we've heard with some people, you know, who've struggled potentially like with their weight. And the fact that you're saying that this wasn't even like something that you, like it wasn't a catalyst for you in terms of a really traumatic experience for your journey. So how did you start on the journey? Like, what was the shift for you then to get started on the journey for transformation and weight loss? And like, what role did your relationship with God play in that?
So for starters, like I said, the highest weight to date was 328 pounds. For me, my best friend and I, we are a year and 3 days apart. So she's born June 1st and I'm born June 4th. So for her birthday, I took her to Jamaica. We had a blast. And this is when digital cameras were not a thing. So you had to actually take Polaroids and then go back and develop them. So you had a 21-year-old and a 20-year-old in Jamaica by themselves with no adult and had the time of our lives, okay? We took 700 pictures, came back and developed them. We are sitting on the bed. I turn around and look at her. I said, why you ain't tell me I was big? And she was like, what are you talking about? She's like, you've been plus size your entire life, Michelle. I'm like, but you ain't tell me I was this big, okay? So for my 21st birthday the following year, we had made up in our minds we were no longer doing birthdays. We were traveling. Like, that was going to be our thing. So we were going to prepare for the next trip. And so, ironically, we ended up going back to Jamaica, and I decided that I would get a personal trainer. And that started that journey. So I went from 328. When I got to Jamaica, I was 318 pounds because in my mind at 20, I thought starting 3 months before my trip, I was going to miraculously lose 50 pounds. That just goes to show that you have. And then after that, I was 21. So from 21 all the way, I'm going to use up until now, up until 36, my weight went from 328 all the way down to the smallest was 240. Then during the pandemic, I jumped up to almost 300 pounds again because most of us were in the house. There was a lot of uncertainty. We didn't know what was going on. Then I was able to lose I went from 290 down to about 270 pounds in 2021 and just kind of stood there. And I was like, okay, I don't like this. Like, I don't know how to get the weight off because I didn't look like I wore 270 pounds because, again, I've always carried my weight really well. But I was just uncomfortable. And then in 2022, I started making some changes. I had moved to a new apartment complex. The gym that I had was wonderful. I had met a friend in an apartment complex and we would work out together. So my weight was starting to come off, but I kept hitting these weird plateaus and didn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm. Then in April of 2022, we began to have a series of deaths in our family, a total of, I want to say it was, my mom says it was 20, and some of them I don't know, but the majority of them I do, from April all the way to the month of August of 2022. One of them being my grandfather, then his sister dying, and then his brother dying. It was like, what is going on? Yeah. And then my grandmother caught COVID in July. So that was scary. And then she gave it to me because I was her caretaker. So we were dealing with that. And it was just like some of the hard work that I had did from January to April, it just kind of went to waste. And I remember, I'll never forget the day. It was August 13th, 2022. I was at work and I had on a mask and I was standing there and I just looked at my body and I picked it apart and I just felt worthless. And I was like, why do you look like this? Like, what is wrong? Why can't you get together? And the negative self-talk that I had that day, it crushed my spirit really bad because I just felt just unworthy. That's the word that I'm going to use. I just felt so unworthy and I didn't know how I was letting myself get to this point. Mm-hmm. And I needed help and I didn't know what to do or, you know, how to do it because I felt like every time I've tried, I did good. Now I'm going to give myself a round of applause. Being 328 pounds with no experience and getting down to 240, that by itself is great.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I was just like, what do we do? And then, you know, your hormones change, you're getting older, things happen. I was 35 years old and I'm just like, if I don't think I look good, nobody else is going to think I look good. So it was just kind of one of those things. But then as the Lord would have it, on August 14th, one of my dear friends texted me and was like, hey, sis, my gym is having a transformation challenge. You need to join. And it was like me and my spirit said yes. And I immediately said, send me the information. And he gave me the contact information of the owner's gym. I texted him and said, hey, I would like to sign up for your transformation challenge. He responded immediately. And I paid my money and I started my journey September 18, 2022 at 275 pounds. Wow. And yeah, I went in there talking about, okay, I'm gonna lose this weight. I'm gonna win. And I end up not winning that one. So I did another transformation challenge and I didn't win that one either, but I lost some weight though.
Yeah. you won for yourself. Yeah, you won for yourself. Well, okay. So it sounds like you were having your own internal like dialogue and journey with yourself to get you to a point where when you had a friend kind of present an opportunity to you, you were willing, you and your spirit and how you were able to align yourself agreed with something that this was something that you were able to like participate in and would be committed to. So I think that's great. And we talked a little bit about this next question just in our some of our previous conversations, but would love to just hear like what was your experience discovering the spiritual and mental effects of this of the physical journey that you were on? Because I know we talked a little bit about how you didn't know how much of that would be like a spiritual attack and like how much some of the weight and that self-concept was tied to things that potentially were hindering you from reaching like your full potential or like your destiny and all those things. So would love to just hear your experience about discovering that spiritual and mental or mind and body implication of the journey.
Absolutely. So doing the 8-week challenges, and shout out to Red Zone Gym. They constantly do 8-week challenges on the north side of Houston. So if you're information, yeah. I'm going to give the plug because that is the home gym and I absolutely love them. But doing the 8-week challenges. So let me say this. I literally signed up to lose weight. I did not know that losing weight was attached to my destiny.
Wow.
And so the 8-week challenges, they were fine. You know, mm-hmm. It was restricting yourself because you had to follow the guidelines and then doing all of the activities, which are the working out and meeting the plan so that you can stay eligible in the challenge, right? It wasn't until I decided to step on a bodybuilding stage for transformation. My goal after doing research was that I should be able to lose 100 pounds in a year. And I wanted to step on a stage and showcase that because I thought that the creators of this show did a fantastic job of having a platform that highlight the hard work that people put in to lose weight. And they also showcase people that have done it naturally and have done it by way of surgery. So for me, that's what the goal was. Again, I signed up to lose weight. I didn't really pray about this because I'm like, it's your health. In my mind, I'm thinking about all the scriptures, right? You know, you even mentioned one, like your body is a temple. So for me, I'm like, I don't gotta consult the Lord to lose weight. But oh, were we greatly mistaken? Because you are mind, body, and soul. As this weight started to come off and I began to change and my relationship with food began to change, it was like, oh, we have embarked, like, I felt like I was in a video game. Like, we had unlocked to a new level that we were not even prepared for. And so there was a lot of challenges that took place in this prep. When you are preparing for a bodybuilding show, to this day, I still can't wrap my mind around the fact that I'm considered an athlete. It's less than 5% of people that do what bodybuilders do. And for me, I just thought it was normal because I was doing it for 6 months straight, actually doing bodybuilding work. So it became the normal. You know, you go to the gym 2 times a day. You know, you're following these meal plans. Your food don't have salt. But you're also in isolation a lot too, because when you're prepping for a bodybuilding show, your body has to be right. So you can't go out and partake in certain things because you're sacrificing. So there was a lot of sacrificing that took place. And for me, my life has always been a sacrifice. So I was like, oh God, you out here having me sacrifice again? Like, when is there some relief, Lord? Like, I didn't ask to go into this and have to sacrifice this much. And I laugh at it now, but during the moments, oh, we would have it out. I'd be like, I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah.
This is not what this was supposed to be. Like, this weight was supposed to fall off, and this was just supposed to be a pleasant journey. And I'm supposed to skip around here and just be happy that I lost the weight. And no. That really wasn't it. It was like, it was crucial. There was building. My character was shown. I tell people this all the time. When you don't have carbs in your body, you are a different person. And those weeks where those meal plans were no carbs, I got to see the real Michelle. And some of her was not nice at all. My God, I had to ask forgiveness to my friends and family that talked to me on a regular basis. Because I was like, listen, I would snap. So, you know, you get to learn yourself a little bit more intimately and then your body's changing and you can't spot weight loss. Like, I don't, if you listen to this, let me tell you something. They know flat tummy tea. As my coach and I say, there are no pills, potion, magic. It's either hard work or you get surgery, period. There's nothing else that's going to really change the body. And then you cannot spot weight loss either. So I'm in the mirror like, ugh, what is this? What is that? Like, the negative self-talk was loud. Body dysmorphia became louder. It was like I was picking myself apart instead of celebrating and embracing these moments. Like, hey, listen, sis, do you know what 11 pounds looks like? Do you know what 2 pounds? Like, you're losing 2 pounds a week. Do you know what that looks like in comparison? So really having to shift my mindset was difficult because I didn't know what to do. I just was like, okay. And then I had a coach at the time that was like, you gotta do more, you gotta do more, you gotta do more. And I'm one of those people, though I would never go into the military, but if you give me instructions, I'm going to follow them. That's my personality. Like, I'm not going to deviate from it. If you tell me something that's going to work, that's exactly what I'm going to do. So I found myself in a position where I was kind of like killing myself to the point where it was like, I'm showing up, I'm doing the work, but I'm not seeing the results. Mm. So again, you're already dealing with body dysmorphia, negative self-talk, and now you're adding on more because you're not seeing the results that you're giving. And the whole time, God is like, but you're not talking to me. Like, you're out here talking to yourself. Like, you and self are in the mirror having these conversations, and you are not talking to me. And that was huge for me, because I realized how important it was. And but God in his kindness, in the month of July, he sent some wonderful people into my life. He sent a friend that has always been there, but she started sending me these beautiful scriptures. She started sending me these box of clothes, and I actually kept the scriptures on my desk, and I want to read them, because when I would have bad days, I would literally pull out this piece of paper and I would be like, I pray God will let me lead and empower to run a race to endure and celebrate at the finish line. And Amen. Then I would go, let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and the protector of our faith. And I would literally pick these up in like bad days and be like, I am going to finish. Like, I'm going to step on this stage. Like, nothing is going to, you know, happen. And then another one says, I'm asking God to give you all the strength and courage and hope you need today. With him, nothing is impossible. You've got this. And then it says, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and his glory in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4:19. And the other one was Hebrews 12:1-2. Mm-hmm. So on those days, I would, you know, encourage myself in that, because I was like, Lord, what is going on? Because again, I just was signing up to losing weight. I didn't understand how any of this was tied together. I didn't understand some of the things that I was experiencing. I didn't understand the fatigue. And I was like, I just signed up to go to a gym, and I was hoping to make some little gym friends. And that was that. And I was just going to lose weight, and I was just going to be finer. That was it. That's all I was trying to do. I wasn't trying to really become an athlete. I wasn't trying to be in the less than 5th percentile. I was just trying to lose weight, see what happens. And if I had to go lay on the table and get a little nip tuck just to get it right in the right places, then that's what I was going to do. But the Lord had other plans.
Yeah, for sure. And you've made so much progress in. Obviously this is a pod, but I'm going to link all of Michelle's stuff, like her socials and all of that, in the show notes, so that you all can go and like actually see this incredible transformation too. It's just, wonderful to like see it and journey with you. And I think, everything you just shared was just so insightful. And I think it's really big, that piece around like the self-talk and the conversation that you were having with yourself versus the conversation that you were having with God, or lack thereof. Because I think so many times we forget, like, just because something may be a fact doesn't mean that it's truth, or something may be news, but that doesn't mean that it's truth. And so you may look at yourself, or you may see something, and that would transfer itself into being you thinking, oh, I'm not worthy, or oh, I'm not this. But that's not the truth of what God says. And I think you even naming that, you had to like go back and like get into scripture and like really like get serious about how you were communing with God along this journey, to like replace the self-talk that you were having with yourself to like what he said about you and like how he sees you even along this journey. So I think that's so, so powerful. So like, what was the most surprising part of this journey so far? Like, what was the thing that was just like unexpected, or just like really like, surprised you so far?
So there are quite a few. So I'm going to do, I think it's three. I think I'm trying to do it in my head. So the first one is I wouldn't say ashamed. I was nervous because I knew what I looked like naked, right? I was very discreet about how I posted things on social media. in regards to my stomach area, because I think a lot of people are just kind of used to people with like this one brown plus size belly, but I had a couple of things going on over here. And so that was always my area of insecurity. And even in training, I would constantly ask my coach, like, how can we get this off? And she's like, I don't know how this is going to happen. Like, you know, we're going to try some things. And so for me, it was putting my body to the world to see. And I genuinely felt like people were going to make fun of me. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I put on my little bikini and got on that stage, honey, and I killed it. That was it. Yeah. And then afterwards, I walked around that little auditorium and just like, this is me. This is my body. I was outside in my little stripper heels in my little two-piece suit and was comfortable. And then when I posted pictures online, from what I know to this day, that there was not near negative feedback or anything. Mm-hmm. It was more words of encouragement and inspiration. So that was definitely something that, like, you know, so now I feel a little bit more comfortable. Don't mean my stomach gonna be out all the time on social media, but I now felt like, you know, a lot of times the enemy will have you be shameful about something, and then because that's the lie, right? So the lie is your body is ugly, no one wants to see that. That is unworthy. But the truth is, sis, you used to be 328 pounds. And when you got on that stage, you were 190 pounds. Mm-hmm. So there is somebody whose body looks just like yours, and you have now inspired them to get on the journey and lose weight. And now you have inspired them to love your body as well. So that was something that was important to me on this journey. And then also to the amount of people sliding into my DMs in Facebook Messenger of just telling me how I inspired them and how they're rooting for me and supporting me. To this day, it's overwhelming. I'm not naturally a crier. That's not my personality. But there are a lot of messages where I had to hold my little heart. And I was like, God, like, who are these people? Because some people I didn't even know. And then after the show, and I don't know what kind of algorithm I'm on in these social media streets, but the people that have come in and told me how much I inspire them, I have like three people now that I've never met that are now on this journey to lose weight because they saw what I did.
Oh my gosh.
And to be an inspiration. And these women are like different ages. One lady, she's 50. And it's just like me, like Michelle from Long Island, New York, who was fluffy and fabulous her whole entire life, is inspiring you to be healthy and fit. I don't think I will ever get over that. And then also too, some of the guys that come in my DMs that are not flirting with me, that are just like, hey, you're inspiring me. I've had people even tell me, like, you're not even inspiring me in fitness. You're inspiring me in other areas of my life because they recognize the discipline that it takes to do what I'm doing, and how they're lacking it in some areas in their life. So seeing me post and show up for what I'm trying to obtain for myself is making them have some fire up under their skin as well. So that's the part that is like, again, little old me is out here inspiring people. I'll never fully grasp that concept 100%, because for me, I'm just living my life. This is my story. If you choose to follow, you follow. If you don't, you don't. And I never really think about the impact that it's going to have, because for me, I try to live my life according to the scriptures, right? I want the biggest impact to be the love of Christ. I want people to experience Jesus when they experience me. So that's kind of what I always look for. But to know that this personal journey that I decided to make public is what is inspiring people to be healthier, that's all glory to God. Like, I can't take any credit for any of that.
I think that's so beautiful. I think that's so powerful. And it also just goes to show how much of like what we do in this life, especially when you're doing it in partnership with God, is not about you. And it's like, you were doing this, you know, you wanted to just lose some weight. You wanted to get to a healthier place, feel better about yourself in general, not overall, like, 'cause you already had a relatively like healthy self-concept, but just the fact that you taking that step and you being obedient, you being diligent, you staying disciplined with the help of the Lord, like transfers into other people's lives in different areas. I think that's even so powerful, like naming that it maybe not is weight for some people, but like maybe it's discipline or self-control in another area of life that they're struggling with. And just seeing that dedication and discipline that you've been able to exhibit over the past year was like inspiring. So I love that. And makes me think of like the fruits of the Spirit and like how you so beautifully like exemplify so many of these fruits of the Spirit and like how this journey specifically like taps into so many of those things. And how for us to really run the race that God has set before us as Christians, like we need to make sure that we're disciplined. We need to make sure that we're executing those fruits of the Spirit so that we're healthy and we're whole. So I love that. I think that's amazing.
One more.
Yeah, go ahead.
Also, when I tell you there were relationships that would foster in this journey as well, I would have people... I think I'm getting a little emotional thinking about it. On really bad days, and there's some part of my journey that I just can't talk about yet. But on really bad days, random people would say, "Hey, the Lord told me to send you this." It would be songs. It would be scriptures. Wow. It would be motivational speeches. And for me, you're like, "Oh, okay, Michelle, that's your friends." No, 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 no. These were people that I may not talk to all the time. These were people that had no idea anything that's going on in my life. And in those moments, that just showed the kindness of God. That what I was battling with privately, that he was like, "I hear you. I see you. I hear your prayers. I see your tears. I see you not saying anything out loud, but let me remind you that I am God." Because oftentimes when you're in the middle of something and you're praying and you don't get the response or the answer that you need from God right away, you often feel like he has abandoned you and that he doesn't hear you. And we always use the analogy that when a teacher is giving a test, they're usually silent, right? And the part that we skip is because throughout the year or throughout the quarter, they have prepared you already for this exam. And so they're not going to talk while you're in the middle of it because they did everything that they needed to do. Now it's up to them to now judge your paper and give you the grade according to how you handle the test. And that's exactly what was happening in this season. However, he was also giving me little nuggets to keep going, right? Because naturally in our flesh, you just going to give up. You want to throw in the towel. You like, "God, you forsook me. I don't want to do nothing no more." And so I appreciated those moments. And then I even had relationships that I met someone, because my testimony is crazy. I've lived in multiple states. I met someone back at work in California, and we always had a beautiful relationship. And then fast forward 6 years later, she was a rock and a cornerstone for me in this journey. She would send me messages because her and her husband are bodybuilders and they also train bodybuilders. So she was encouraging me with the word of God and reminding me who I was while I was going through this journey. I didn't ask her to do this. She was just watching along social media like everybody else. And then she just began to pour into me. So it was those moments that were like, "Oh, wow." And then even when it was time for me to look for a posing coach, I ended up reconnecting with someone that I went to college with back in 2005. And she was my posing coach. And now she is going to be the coach that takes me to the greatest, highest levels I can go in bodybuilding. So the alignment that happened in this journey is something that I was like, "That's crazy." And to think I met both of these women at different times of my life, when I was fluffy and fabulous, and they will attest to that. But it was just like, "God, like, really, you set this up." And like, because literally I met one in Virginia and I met one in California. So just seeing how God moves pieces in our lives, sometimes things don't make sense. Like when we moved to California, that didn't make any sense. But hindsight 2020, if I had to go to California to meet my friend, to now 6 years later have her a part of my life and in this journey with me, it was all worth it. Yeah. So.
Oh, I love that. That goes to show how the Lord like worked everything together for his good, for his purposes, and how he aligns all your paths, and you don't even know the end from the beginning. So I think that's an amazing story and just those connections. So you talked a little bit about how you had to kind of like recenter yourself to like incorporate the Lord more in the process when you first started, how you lean on scripture, how other people have like sent you songs and scriptures and things to kind of get you through. How else did your walk with Christ help you achieve your goals?
I would say not giving up. I had a mentor in my ear during the last quarter of everything that was constantly reminding me of who I was, because it was bad. And it was her guidance that put me back, because she kept telling me, Michelle, you're a child of God. And she kept telling me that the things that were happening were supposed to happen. And I just kept being like, no, they're not. This is not right. This is not fair. And she was like, no, they are. And then my therapist also was a catalyst too, because she was like, Michelle, you're experiencing a lot of this, not because God is punishing you, but because you're going to be a blessing to many, because you're going to be able to walk with someone when they say this is how they feel. Your level of care for them is going to be completely different because you actually experienced it. You went through the physical motions. So for me, it was a lot of crying out in that season. Like, it was, okay, God, I am frustrated today. This is not comfortable. Why is this happening? What is going on? And then there was a lot of silence and being obedient when he said, when you talk to this person, say this. And then the results of it was fruit bearing. So it was like, even though I was going through and my flesh was saying, give up, my spirit kept saying, God, I'm hurting, but I need you. So I continued to center myself in listening to my scriptures, listening to worship music, and just trying to be obedient the best way that I could. Because if I allowed myself to get in the way, I would have just been like, no, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And I would have got silent on God, which is something that I think a lot of us do. Because we're like, you're not moving fast enough.
Yeah.
It was like, no. And a lot of it didn't really make itself manifest until after the show. There were a few things that happened before the show, but after the show is what really was like, yeah, you went through this because I needed you to be filled up for this. Like, there was so many things that transpired. Like, even the day of the show was absolutely beautiful. I had a beautiful show from the time I woke up in the morning to the time that it ended. And then I had my two favorite people with me as well for the week of the show. But just being able to minister to people, where people just walked up to me randomly and like, you're so beautiful, and wanted to give me hugs. And then we became like Instagram friends. It was just a beautiful day. And in that, God was showing me, like, I have you going through things for a reason, because you have a greater purpose and a greater destiny, and you did not see that. And I, so going back to my mentor, when she would constantly pour into me, because she doesn't believe in negative self-talk, she believes in being honest, but not being negative. And so one day in one of our mini talks, she got real real with me, and I had to sit on it because it hurt. When someone says something that hurt, you got to sit on it for a minute. And I sat, and then the Lord brought me back to one of my favorite quotes. And it's the theme of my bodybuilding career. And it also is the theme for my new life, because being plus size my entire life, that was my identity. And now being smaller, I have to know who this new identity is. And my best friend, she even said the same thing. She's like, Michelle, you're no longer Miss Fluffy and Fabulous. She's like, now you're Miss Fit and Fine. And so,
ma'am,
I love it. Okay, she said, so now you have to find out who Miss Fit and Fine is. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you're right. I absolutely do. So in my transformation video, when I talk about my journey, I did the quote by Marianne Williamson, and I love it because it speaks to where I am. Because like I said in the beginning, though my weight never bothered me, it bothered everybody else. Mm. And with that being said, though I still lived my life, there were things where I sometimes held myself back. I'm a natural giver, right? So I take care of people. That is my nature. That is my personality. I don't have to be in the forefront. I don't need to be seen. I don't need to do anything. When you ask me to do something, I show up and I execute. I know how to be an Indian and I know how to be a chief. But I also know that looking back, that sometimes I would just play the back seat because I did not want anyone to diminish who I was because of my weight. And they couldn't see past all of the great qualities and skills that I had. But in that talk with my mentor and thinking about that quote, my new motto for life is this. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
Wow. I don't know if I've heard that whole quote. I think I've heard like the front part of that, but that whole thing is really powerful. Wow. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And I think the other piece of that tied back to kind of what you've been sharing, this journey piece to me is like really resonating. And I think it's so important because it's not like you woke up one day and you just like lost 100 pounds and it was all like smooth sailing every single day. You wanted to eat like on your meal plan and like it was no hills and valleys along the way. And I think that's so important because to your point, like when we're operating strictly in our flesh, like there's going to be things that come in trials and tribulations that come that cause us to want to give up. And I think to your point, if you hadn't gone through some of the things that you've gone through on the journey, you wouldn't be positioned to be able to help the people that come after you walk through some of those trying days or like the days where it's like, it's not working, or maybe the plateau season, or maybe that season where they need that little bit of extra encouragement because it's not happening in the way that they thought it would. So I just love that. That image of like the journey itself that you've been on, just because it just shows the authenticity and like the rawness of like how the Lord has just been doing this mighty work, but how he's been like with you like along the whole time and the whole way. So I think that's so powerful. So why do you think it's important that people care about taking care of their physical bodies in the way that we prioritize our spiritual and mental health? Specifically, like in the church, like there's, you know, people oftentimes like really prioritize like their spiritual journey, their spiritual walk, which is amazing. The past several years, there's been this huge push for like mental health awareness and like therapy and counseling and all the things that like help us prioritize our mental health. But like, why do you think it's also important that we specifically as Christians, like really care about the taking care of our physical selves as well?
I think it's virtually important because our bodies are the temple of God, right? We are spirit beings dwelling in a physical body. So we are to take care of this body every which way that we can. And so for believers, I'm never going to push the narrative that you have to be a certain weight or size, because I believe that God created us in all different shapes and sizes. And when you begin to understand fitness, you can put someone that's 220 pounds next to someone that's 180 pounds and it can look exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Muscle and fat weigh differently. So, but what I will say, as believers, you have to be a good steward over anything that God gives you. Mm-hmm. And we take that to children, finances, entrepreneurship, being a husband, being a wife, all things that do not include the body. And which is so silly to me, because even in scripture, it says that we are the body and we all have many parts, right? So the physical body needs to also be good steward over as well, because you want to make sure that you are in shape to be able to run the race, to be able to share the goodness of the Lord with everyone that you meet. You can't do that when you have feeble and you have all of these things that are going on in your body, but yet you're out here saying God is good. Yes, God is good, but you're also not taking care of yourself so that you can be good. And I'm not talking about the people that have, you know, chronic illnesses that they have no control over. That's something different. But if you are constantly putting things in your body that are causing different diseases, then I think that that's something as believers that we should look at. I think that being a good steward should be over any and everything that God gives you. Priority one being the body. Mm-hmm. Then everything else that follows. And just like with mental health, it's the same thing. I tell people all the time, you know, Jesus walked this earth. He understands what it's like to be a human. The only difference between Jesus and us is that he didn't have any sin in him. Mm-hmm. So some of the things that we experience is because of sin. So yes, you can have Jesus, but you also can have therapy too. Mm-hmm. Not everything is going to be prayed away. Living here on this earth is not, and we're going to be honest because it's a Christian podcast, this ain't our home. Right. So we're never going to be fully comfortable here. So while we are here, just like in any space that you are uncomfortable in, you are going to take the necessary steps to find contentment in that until it's time for you to go home, going to glory. And then that's when you get a new glorified body. And we don't know what the new glorified bodies look like. I thought mine was going to be a size 2, but I might be there on my own.
Oh my gosh. That's great. That's great. Yeah, no, I think that's so important. And I think even like you can maybe attest to this, and I've heard other people say that, like, when they specifically, like, this physical body, like, it's the temple of the Holy Spirit, and like you said, like, the stewardship issue, it boils down to that. But like, if you can, that's why the Lord, like, instructs us to fast, and like the things around, like, you know, we're not in the Old Testament anymore around like what they could and couldn't eat, but there is still an awareness that I think it would behoove us to have around like what feeds our bodies in a way that is glorifying to God, so that we can live these long lives. It's like we want people, it's like people want to live these long lives, like, right, like to 100 or more, but it's like if you're living, but then you don't have your faculties about you, or you're not mobile or able, like you said, within things that are in your control, is like, how much more, right, can you do things for the glory, like to run the race literally until you can't run it anymore. So I think that's great. And like, I've heard people say that when they can get a hold of like this physical piece, like when they can get a hold of like what they're putting in their bodies, when they can get a hold of like getting disciplined around like movement and like agility and like working out, then that trickles down into other areas of their life. Like, I think there's a reason why the Lord made it so when you work out, it releases endorphins. Like, mm-hmm. runner's high is a real thing. Like, when you work out, like, it pumps oxygen to your brain to like these are all things that are like work connectedly together. So I think that's great. I think that's so important, and that the Lord designed it that way in his infinite wisdom. So I think that's.
Yep, because you are mind, body, soul. And in spirit too, right? So with that being said, I also work for a domestic violence shelter, and we're working on some wellness initiatives because everybody kind of knows about my journey. And so one of the initiatives that I presented is making sure that we have a fitness piece incorporated at our shelter. I said, because we always look at mind, body, soul from the health standpoint. But I said, for me, when I started taking over my body first, then my mental and begin to shift, my soul and then my mental, you know, so you experienced that. I said, could you imagine how we can empower these women and children that have been violated? That if we help them take control of their body, how that will begin to shift their mind. And then once their mind is shifted, then their soul can come at rest. Mm-hmm. We don't realize how these three components go together. Right. And like you said, when you start to do that, you begin to see like, oh, you don't even desire those things anymore that you used to desire. And I always say, when you set a goal and you achieve it, it unlocks a superpower, because that's the best way I can kind of, you know, make it plain so people can understand. You're like, now I did it. Like, if I can do that, then now I can do this next thing, right? Yeah. And so when you have that level of discipline behind you, you're unstoppable. One thing scripture is very clear on is take these thoughts that you have captive, right? And I used to be like, well, why? Because sometimes if you're a creative person like me, you can be very imaginative and you can kind of go on for days in your head. But there's a reason why you have to take thoughts captive under the subjection of Christ, right? Because if you allow your mind to wander too much, it can put you in a bad space. And the reason why he says, think on things that are lovely above and pure and of good reproach, it's like you said, when a runner runs, after they release, it's a runner's high. When you begin to position yourself in spaces or position yourself with the word of God, you don't have time to filter in all of the bad. Mm-hmm. You, because you're constantly being disciplined at what it is that you need to do. And I think a lot of people miss that step because we think it's over spiritual, or we're like, oh, you just can't have a life that's always happy. No, you can't, because there's suffering. However, you can make things a practice. Like, I can no longer go back to my old lifestyle, even if I wanted to, because I have practiced and disciplined my body for a year to go in one direction.
Right.
So you're 100% correct that all three of those components work together. And I think that if we continue to focus on that as individuals, and it doesn't matter, your peace may not be body first, your peace may be soul, it may be spending time with God more, maybe cultivating that relationship will then bring you into a new position with the Lord, which then will get to your body. So yeah, I think that is perfect in what you were saying.
Wonderful. So what advice do you have for people that are trying to live a healthier lifestyle for the glory of God?
The biggest thing is that do not give up. life. I am a caregiver to an 82-year-old that is losing her mind because she has dementia. I work for a domestic violence shelter. I have my own event planning business. I am a friend. I am a daughter. I do things for the kingdom. Every day I can say there's no time for the gym. I can make every excuse in the book because my life warrants that, but it's a priority, right? So don't allow life to stop you from taking care of you. One, the best way I like to describe it is that there's a Christian rap song by Andy Mineo. And in one of his lyrics, he says, Jesus retreated to speak to his father, I know that I need it. And before Jesus and the disciples would go out and do any miracles, Jesus would get up in the morning and he would spend time with God. And that would set the day for where they were going. And for me, I equate that to, if you're not spending time with the Lord for him to give you direction for your life, then you'll be stagnant or you'll be all over the place. And with not having that direction, you also will lose what I would say is control over the things that you need to do. So for me, fitness and spirituality go hand in hand. And it's like, yes, I get up every morning to spend time with the Lord. And because I have to take care of kingdom business first. And then secondly, is taking care of Michelle. Because if Michelle is not taken care of, then I can't help out in all of the other areas that I just named. And a lot of times what I notice in the comments that I get is that people tell me they don't have enough time or they don't know what to do. If you have to start over every single day, then that's exactly what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You just cannot give up on yourself. Mm-hmm. And don't go into this with the mindset of, oh, I have to do all of these things all at once. No, if you do 10 minutes on Monday and 13 minutes on Tuesday and 17 minutes on Wednesday, that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. It's about the consistency that will get you to the goals that you need. And if you make a mistake, so what? If mm-hmm. you fall off, so what? We all do. Get back up and do it again. Like, yes. There is no perfect way to do this. That's the difference between discipline and motivation. At first, when you start off, you're going to need a lot of motivation. But once you get past holding the hand, just like in the Bible, you either going to be on milk or solid food. Once you get off of milk and you get to solid food, now you hit discipline. So when it's raining outside and you don't feel like going, your discipline kicks in and says no, because we have goals and we have things that we need to do. When you had a bad day at work and you just want to sit on the couch, your discipline kicks in and says, no, we have work to do, but build yourself up to get there first. Like, and I think that's where people mess up. Because like in January, the gym is going to be a hard place to get into, because mm-hmm. everybody going to have to hear, new me and all of us that have been doing this going to be like, you in my way. come on. You know, it's like this gung-ho, but just like with anything, slow and steady wins the race every single time. Your fitness journey, your spiritual journey, and your life journey, these are all marathons. They are not sprints. You're taking your time. Like, this is not, because think about it. Do you want somebody to build you a house in 30 days versus someone taking their time to build your house? It may take about 2 to 3 months because, you know, they're building the right foundation. That's exactly what you want to do for any area of your life. You want to build the foundation and build upon it so that it sustains itself.
Right.
And then keep God in the middle of it, child, because you may be listening to this and you don't even know who he is. But if you do, just keep him in the middle because he cares. I think a lot of times people think that God doesn't care about the small things, but he's like, no, I care about everything. Like, he's invested in our lives. He wants to know every single thing. And then he wants the glory too, because he's like, this is my child. I created this child. And then they're out here doing work, and then don't do work for the kingdom. Come on now. That's like one of my favorite scriptures. In Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of his righteousness shall be added unto you. In layman's terms, when you take care of God's business, he takes care of your business. So, yeah.
I love that. And I think that part about like the slow and steady and like the slow incremental, the consistency, like you're not supposed to wake up and like jump on a transformation stage like tomorrow. Like, it's just like starting with like the little bits, and that over time, like building the habit, building the discipline, the consistency will then turn into the outcome that you're seeking. So I think that's so, so good.
And don't give up. That is like the biggest thing.
Just keep going. Yeah, for sure.
Even on the hard days, keep going. Even when you don't see results, keep going. Like, I couldn't even imagine myself at 190 pounds. Like, I didn't even know what that was going to look like. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I was going to make it there. I have lived in the twos and the threes all of my life. That's all that I've known. It's just like, okay, we're going to keep going. And I think that that's just what it is. And enjoy the journey. Yes. Thank you, Lord. If I don't care about anything else I said today, the journey. A lot of times, I'm going to tell you this. So getting on the bodybuilding stage was woefully important to me, right? Did I want to win? Kind of, if I'm being honest. But I also knew that this was part of what I wanted to do for myself. But I tell people in life, if you have a goal and the goal is to get first place, right? But it's going to take you some time to get there. the true gain and the true prize is the journey that it took. A lot of times we think it's getting that first place, getting that recognition. And yes, don't get me wrong. When I step across these stages in the upcoming months, yes, I would love to get first place as well. But if I don't, there's so much beauty and character building in the journey to get there. And to me, that just goes to show, like, I feel like a lot of the stories in the Bible are underdog stories anyway, and how they had to start from these horrific situations and go from there. But you see the hand of God in every situation. And I always encourage people to not always look at the end result, but look at what happened in the middle in order for you to get that end result. It's like the icing on the cake. I even use the same analogy in dating. Like, okay, you love God, like you got a relationship with God, and you smart, and you a little nerdy, and you a little romantic, and you got a little hood in you, and then you got the nerve to be fine. Like, that fine piece is like icing on the cake.
Yeah.
I always tell everybody, enjoy the journey, no matter how rough, rocky it looks. Enjoy the journey, because that is where the most powerful stories come from. That is where your character is built. That is where testing happens. It's just a beautiful place. And then the end result is just like, yes, that's it. That's the icing on the cake. That's what I needed.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm just feeling so inspired. And I think that was a great kind of cherry to end this really rich conversation that we've been having. So as we wrap up, would love to just hear if you have any foundational or cornerstone scriptures for your life.
So let's see who, because I've been reading a lot. Well, one of my cornerstone scriptures I just said is Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness shall be added unto you. Another one is going to be, I know it's a popular one, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you. Also, Psalms 46:10, be still. That is probably one of my favorites, and I keep that close to my heart. And then there is another one too. It's Psalms. Is it Psalms 41? I've waited patiently for the Lord, because I have trouble with waiting sometimes. So I have to lean on to that a lot and be like, okay, Lord, I'm just gonna wait patiently for you.
Yeah.
And if you follow me on social media, my Instagram name is Clothed in Dignity. So Proverbs 31 is actually a cornerstone scripture for me, and not because I'm a church girl and that's what I think I should be. But when you read the attributes of a Proverb 31 woman, I don't care if you're single and or married. That's just, those are great biblical attributes for a woman who loves Jesus.
Right.
And so those are some of the few, like I said, I love the Bible. So
yeah.
I've been reading scripture like, ooh, this is it. This is the scripture for the day.
Yeah. Now, those are some great ones. And I'll be sure to link them in the show notes along with the other scriptures that you've mentioned today. So what else do you have coming up, and like, where can people follow you?
Okay, so like I said, on Instagram, my name is Clothed in Dignity, and then Kim is going to link that for you. And then I have my new coach that we will be working together, and we have some exciting things for 2024. I actually just registered for my first show.
Woohoo!
Yes, I'm excited. So we're going to do some transformations, and then in 2025, we're going to head on to the wellness division of bodybuilding, just based off how my body is looking right now and where the trajectory is. I love my coach. She is a visionary and I'm an executioner. So when a visionary and an executioner get together, that is a dangerous team to be with. And so I love the fact that she, first of all, she loves God. And she is a planner. And so when I'm thinking small, she's like, nope, I have a whole set of things for you to do. So that's what we're doing. We're getting ourselves ready for 2024. If anyone is looking for a trainer or looking for a program, she's doing Uncovering the New You. Kim will have that linked at the bottom. Please reach out to her. She is an amazing coach. And not only is she an amazing coach, she's a life coach as well. And her testimony is powerful. Wow. I am so grateful for the Lord for having us to come back together again after all of these years and be able to work together. I really feel like we're going to be like this unstoppable team, and I'm excited for it. And yeah, that's it. My life is fitness now. I told you, Miss Fluffy and Fabulous is now Miss Fit and Fine.
That's amazing. And yeah, I'll definitely be sure to link all of that in the show notes so people can follow along with your journey, reach out to your coach, and just kind of keep up with the amazing things that you have coming up. So yes. Thank you so much for coming. We've been talking about doing this for months, so I'm so excited to kick off this new season with you, and just like a really insightful and inspirational conversation. I just thank you for your diligence and for sharing so transparently, like, your journey with us. And I just know it's going to bless and inspire so many, so many people. So thank you again.
Thank you for having me. This was an absolute pleasure. And I can't wait for all my new followers. And please slide in my DMs and say, hey, I listen every
time. Yeah, absolutely. Well, y'all take care, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Mm-hmm.